There's so much I still want to share with you that is tearing me
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be talking about Gregory's journey in the spirit world. Actually, Gregory is going to be talking about his journey in the spirit world, so that's going to be absolutely fascinating because we had a great time last week with part one, and I know it's going to be equally as exciting today. Anyway, if you would like to join us with a question to Gregory about his life, try and stick to topic. It's not it's not a reading show tonight, okay? So, but if you'd like to ask Gregory something about his life in the spirit world, or if something that you're interested in to do with that, then please do give us a call. The number is toll free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, perhaps any of the other services, that's to do with diagnostic services for animal health and welfare, and geophysical stress, and also for paranormal problems that may be happening in your house or in a neighbor's house or on your land or something like that, then please go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. Well, around about then, anyway. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me because it's not my business. That would be then, the situation would be I would be entrapping my consciousness into the thoughts of the situation that I was going through. Sometimes I remember little bits of it, but it isn't really that much of a big deal. Anyway, so that's my job, and without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and have a great show. Goodbye.
Thanks, Mick.
Bye.
Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have an understanding beyond the constraint of our human mind. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless, and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. We don't have any religious bias or political persuasion, and our mission is only to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit. And if you have a show suggestion that you would like us to cover one week, do get in touch. We do go through them. And that would be on enq@spirit-teaching.com. We will be in, if you're in the Portland area and you're listening to us, you might like to come along on Friday to Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces. It's a crystal shop, it's a New Age shop in Portland. It's on Northeast Broadway, 2426. And it's on the 28th, 7 till 9 p.m. Come along, meet us, and have an evening with Gregory. And that would be just great. And do say if you come along that you listen to the show and this is why you're here. So anyway, the number to call if you want to book that evening with us, it's donation only actually on Friday. It's 503-528-1430. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, my dear friend. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. So, are you well today?
Yes, thank you.
Are you ready for another little trip down memory lane?
Yes, well, very well.
So, last week we ended up, you'd got to the Halls of Learning, but just before your mother left you at the doors of the Halls of Learning.
Yes.
She says that you were going to be going to a place, you were going to be taken to a place that it was your home.
Yes.
But that it would be a place of great beauty that you, the like that you'd never seen before. Would this be jumping the gun if we got to that situation now?
Well, it would a little bit, my dear friend, because, yes, I'm just trying to think, really, in the rationale of the journey of my good self in the spirit world, it is, in fact, that I spent a little time, first of all, in the Halls of Learning, and it was really within that atmosphere that I was then transported from there
to this other
soul group of Arcania.
Okay, so basically, for people who didn't join us last week, we went from you, your actual accident, fatal accident, where you lost your head and your hand, you got run over by the coach and horses, and you found yourself in the spirit world, hovering over your body, watching that for a couple of days, and seeing the auric fields of the trees and that sort of thing, and then your mother came, and then she took you the Halls of Learning and said that you had a lot of work to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and then I understand that I ran through the story of what I saw when I came to the Halls of Learning.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you basically saw lots of energies, but you didn't see them.
I saw them, but I didn't see them. That's a bit nebulous, isn't it? But what I mean, really, is that I could see the energy. Sometimes I could see the outline, almost like they were liquid, but transparent.
Mm.
And at other times, I could see an energy sphere or an energy cord. An energy cord is, in fact, an elliptical object which looks a little like a silk scarf or a piece of string, which is coloured, and it's usually coloured the colour aura of the identity of the person. That is what I have later found out. And in actual fact, the situation appears to be that, as I was viewing it, in any case, some of these beings were floating at times.
Mm-hmm.
They appeared to be perhaps several feet off the ground, or even if I ever saw their feet, which very often I didn't. And in those first moments, you understand, of being in the Halls of Learning, it was such, in a sense, a place full of consciousness, and yet I felt as though I was suspended myself. And a kind of a hush was felt all around me, as though I was, in effect, some kind of dormant state, viewing some kind of film or animation before me, as though these beings, none of them had anything to do with me. They didn't actually acknowledge me, or at least I thought not. They did not even feel my presence, I thought. And yet when I looked at myself, I could see that I had skin, and I had flesh, as I always remembered it. I could see this, and yet as I looked at those people, those beings, I could see that they had none of this. They had no flesh, they had no bones, they had nothing of the apparel of physical life. So how did I know they were people? Well, I didn't really. I just assumed they were, I suppose, because I could see that some of them had a book that was open in front of them. And it was a book of a kind and a like that I'd never seen, a book that actually shone itself, that was self-illuminating. And as I looked from that object that seemed to be hovering, that the pages seemed to be turning without any hand being involved upon it. And it appeared to be as though this hand turning the pages and then suddenly, without any kind of command, the book would just drop silently to the floor. And then thereupon, there would be some other image would come out of the book, just rise up, like a genie out of a bottle or a lamp. And I was transfixed that as I saw and as I observed, layer upon layer, level upon level, all the way as far as my eyes could see, my eyes that I never had, my eyes from a head that was missing. Yet I still had them, you see. They were still there. My conscious memory worked and revealed to me the situation before me. It wasn't something of an illusion. I was quite sure of that. I even pinched myself a few times to make sure that I wasn't dreaming.
What did that feel like?
It felt like it should have done.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Because I did it to myself, I suppose.
Mm.
So that meant, I have feeling, you see? And I felt the atmosphere. I sensed the atmosphere as well.
Mm.
An atmosphere in a parallel world of a dimension of non-physical state and yet was physical. Because all that I could see and observe, the ground beneath my feet was ground. It didn't fall away suddenly to nothing. It still was there, just as I would think of it as being there. And as I continued, I walked forward. Yes, I still had legs, and I still felt the contact with the solid earth. That was so remarkable. And I remember also, just as I came upon the desk that was in front of me at the Hall of Information, that's the sign that it had upon it, the Halls of Information. And it was in English, yes. It was also in many other languages, I understand, because it appeared to be there in many other languages.
Could you see the other languages?
I could, yes. I could see the other languages. I didn't know what they were. They were funny hieroglyphs and that kind of thing. Some of them looked like fruit, like they were bent bananas, and even though I'd never seen a banana, you understand, I know what a banana looks like now, but I'd never, of course, seen one when I was a child. Never had them. And as I looked at all of these different things, the ways in which people obviously wrote, letters that were backwards, forwards, upside down. There were letters that appeared to be similar to what I remembered, but yet bore no resemblance, or they had dots around them, or something like that. And as I looked still further, I could see that there were walls to this place. There were walls to this place, and yet the walls did not seem dark. I could see very few windows, and then yet as I strained still further, I could see windows. They were stained of colour, of a myriad of different situations that appeared to glow. Situations of humanity, situations of animals, depicting scenes of different situations that obviously happened in physical life. And the scenes were moving. Like they were playing out in front of my eyes. And they were. They were situations of animals eating. There they were, right in front of my eyes. But illuminated by a kind of light that appeared to be coming from behind them. I can only ascertain that they were windows. I've understood recently that they're actually the scenes and depictions of life on that particular physical planet of which I had become a part of, and at which I, through my cellular memory, I had regarded so much regurgitation of the lesser knowledges of life, if you like.
Were you in an area of those who had, say, embarked from the planet of Earth?
Yes, it appeared to be so, because there were some others that arrived after me, and they were equally as wondrous. Although I do not know if they arrived after me and they had not been in the spirit world for long, for sure, that is how I viewed the situation. I was new to this place, and I thought that this was the spirit world.
Yeah.
This was all of it.
Well, you would.
It must be all of it, surely.
Yeah.
There cannot possibly be anything so large and grand and beautiful as this.
Because you said the ceiling, just when you looked up, it just went on for miles and miles and miles.
But I couldn't see an end to it.
There's no end. And there were staircases, things like that?
Yes, there were staircases. And there also appeared to be a situation where beings were just floating from one place to another. Almost as though, well, that they had no need of any kind of physical structure in which to organize themselves.
Okay.
It was most strange. The other thing that I do have to say before we move on is the fact that the walls themselves, they were appearing to be made of stone. And yet, it seemed as though that they were moving slightly. There was some movement there within the walls. It wasn't solid, yet it looked solid. But the longer that I looked, I noticed that it was moving. And that one stone was moving where another one had been. And yet they all seemed to be holding in place, but moving at the same time. It also appeared to me that each individual stone appeared to be alive, that it was, in a sense, of a vibration, and I could feel and sense its vibration. I even walked up to one, of a pillar that was standing close by, and I stroked it, and it felt remarkably like stone that I had remembered of buildings upon the earth plane, and yet when I stroked it, it sighed.
It sighed.
There was a great sigh that came from it. And I looked around. And
gosh.
I took my hand off it. And then I stroked it again, very gently. And it sighed. It just let out a breath. I couldn't understand this. What breath? From where? I ran around the pillar, all the way around it, trying to see where the breath was coming from.
And did you find it?
Well, it wasn't staring in front of me, that's for sure. And where it appeared to come from were a series of holes that were up above me, some 10 or 15 feet above. And it appeared that these holes just opened and then closed again. Now, can I say this was stone? Yes, it felt like it. It felt as hard as stone, and yet it moved. It was